Welcome to the Podglomerate.
For everything that you were too afraid to ask at home, too embarrassed to ask at school, or was just too hard to ask your partner, welcome to the Sex Rap.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Sex Rap. You're here today with Spring and with Andrew, your favorite sex personalities on the internet. And you know, personality is another name for butt. So we're your favorite sex butts on the internet. How are you today, sex butt?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, you know, like if you say someone has a really good personality, like you have a nice ass.
What are you talking about? Did you make this up?
I did not.
Some secret Andrew code language?
No, I mean, like whenever I hear people talk about, you know, like the little death is an orgasm and a good personality means like, damn, look.
No, I think good personality means is code for they're not attractive. Like normally you say like, well, she has a good personality. And that means I don't think she's attractive, but at least her personality is good.
Nah, it means they have a good butt. See, in my world, I try to build people up constantly. So even when other people have thinly veiled insults about the world around me, I interpret it as like, I agree, they're great. Because I'd much rather have a world that's more positive than more negative.
So you're admitting that you did make this up.
Absolutely not. For me, absolutely. If I say you have a good personality, it means nice ass. I didn't say it meant anything about your face or anything else, but yeah. No, I think it's sometimes kind of mean when someone's like, she has a nice personality. I'm like, well, of course she does. Like, she's really interesting and fun. What are you trying to infer? And then I force them to actually say the second part. And if they're not willing to say it, then I'm like, well, great. And if they are willing to say it, and I'm like, well, your personality on the inside is beautiful. So, well, here we are. Welcome to the next month of the Sex Rap, everybody. I hope you enjoyed last month, where we had a whole bunch of episodes that circled around one topic. And that's what we're going to be doing for the rest of this year. I probably should talk about what that topic was, right? We were talking about, like, when do I leave? How do I cut people out of my life? Et cetera.
How do I revamp that dating app?
I really like that episode too. So much great advice for somebody who's not in any dating apps right now. But we'll talk more about dating apps. But this month, we're going to be talking about sexual honesty. And over the last 5 years, Spring and I have talked about these topics individually on episodes. We've received hundreds of questions about them. And by sexual honesty, we're going to be talking about, like, you know, sometimes sex is tricky and you don't know when to say things or when to ask for things or when to disclose things or how to get things that you want. So for this month, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be trying to hone in on this idea of sexual honesty. And our first question this month is, when do you disclose STD status or STI status? And I think this is a really important question. And to start it off, I just want to do a little bit of destigmatization. Spring and I have done this before in other episodes. STDs are really common. A huge portion of young people get them at some point in their life. And the vast majority of them are relatively easy to treat. And most of them are pretty easy to prevent if you take some precautions. So we have to start destigmatizing, you know, STIs or STDs because people freak out about them. But the question, when do I disclose, is really important.
Yeah. And I mean, we need to destigmatize because the stigma around having an infection it causes a lot of problems. So if we have this really strong stigma around STIs, let's just call them STIs today. STIs and STDs are the same thing. They're different terms for the same thing, but let's just say STIs. So the stigma around STIs actually prevents people from getting tested because people are so nervous that they might have one because of the stigma around them that they then put off getting tested. And that actually allows STIs to grow and to be passed on and for more people to get them. So the stigma surrounding STIs actually is increasing STIs. Like that's how big of a problem that is. So when we're talking about the need to destigmatize sexually transmitted infections, which is part of this whole episode, part of what we're talking about, like talking about STIs, like how do you talk about it? When do you talk about it? And I think the main thrust is get it, main thrust, is that we have to talk about them. We have to talk about them because that is what is going to actually be part of the prevention of STIs in general.
And that stigma gets in the way not only of treatment, it gets in the way of telling. There are lots of STIs that you get where if you don't get tested and if you don't get treated, what could be a pretty mild infection where, you know, a light course of antibiotics or, you know, some cream or whatever else that you have to use can become either life-threatening or can have some pretty serious negative impacts on your future potential to have kids. We know that the vast majority of cases of women, especially young women who have fertility issues, it's because at some point in their life, they contracted something like gonorrhea or chlamydia. They never got tested for it. And eventually it caused some scarring inside of their fallopian tubes, which prevents pregnancy or it can cause ectopic pregnancies as well. And if we're talking about some of the other STDs, things like HIV, if someone contracts HIV and they get tested for it and they get good treatment for it, eventually they can't spread it to other people. It no longer causes harm to them. But if they don't get tested and if they don't get treated, they're much more likely to spread it to other people because they have a ton of the virus circulating inside of their bodies. So getting tested is really important. And it can be really scary. I know I talked in a previous episode how nervous I was at my first STD test. I was like, oh my gosh, or STI test. Do I have something? Is something wrong with me? And it's because all of that stigma, all of a sudden, instead of me blaming the rest of the world or looking at the rest of the world, I was pointing at me. It's really scary when you're sitting in there and you've internalized all of this fear. And that STD test, I don't know, I'm going to go back and forth all episode. That STI test, pointing all fingers at you, at that point, you can't, you know, blame anyone else but yourself. But it was fine. And I've been fine. And I've worked really hard in my whole life to have these kind of conversations with people, because along with stigma is that normalizing the conversation to make it okay to ask people about STDs, STIs. It just should be normal. But let's move back to our topic for today. When do you disclose your STI status?
Well, you know, I recently saw one of my friends was on Hinge and she saw somebody advertising in their profile that they had a sexually transmitted infection, and they wrote some specifics about it. And they were like, if you're not okay with this, don't swipe right on me. And the way they phrased it, I can't remember exactly how they phrased it. They were almost further stigmatizing the infection. They were like, if you've got a problem with the, I don't remember how it was phrased, but I remember seeing it and I was thinking, wow, they're kind of implying that there's something wrong with this. And they're kind of implying that, you know, people might, you know, want to, might think of it as a problem as well, because that's how it's thought of. And it was really interesting for me to see that, because I thought, yeah, it's great that someone's being so open and honest about it, but is your profile the right place to put that? And is that early, before someone even knows you, the right time to tell someone?
I mean, sometimes it is. This is one of those times where I think gays do it a little bit better. On our show, we've talked about other times where there have been minority communities who do it better. Just like Spring and I said, the kink community and the BDSM community does consent better. They get it better. If you log on to any of the major gay dating apps or hookup apps, all of them have a place where you can talk about when was the last time you got tested and what's your status. And most of that's about HIV, but you can enter additional information. So people right at the very beginning, you know, before they even meet, have that, they can have that information readily available. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of different times and places. I also think that in the gay community that there's more sex positivity surrounding some of the conversations about STDs. I keep saying STDs instead of more sex positivity about it, just because there's more resources, more time, more energy and effort that people spend learning about themselves and their bodies and their partners. And no, this is not all gay men, right? This is not all gay dating apps, and not everyone has to be honest. But pretty early on in a lot of those hookup style dating apps, but I mean, it is a tricky and complicated question. And when I've seen this come in over the last 5 years multiple times, like, it depends on A, what STI are you talking about? B, what are you looking for in terms of this other person in the relationship that you may or may not have with them? And I think it might help Spring and I if we break it up into a couple of those different categories, which we will do when we get back right after this break. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking about disclosing your STI status and when's the right time to do it.
I just wanted to respond to what you were just talking about, you know, whether this is placed in app or not, like in dating app. And, you know, I think that one difference is, for example, Hinge is more of a dating app. And you were talking about some of those things that are more of hookup apps. And so I think there's also a real difference in the platform. And like, if the platform is used mainly for sex, then having sexual health things right up front makes more sense than it does necessarily on a dating app.
Yeah. So would you say Tinder is a hookup app or a dating app?
I would say that it's seen mostly as a hookup app.
Yeah, that's
these
what I
days.
Thought
too. I think it used to be a little broader, but I think it's kind of shifted. I think it started kind of hookup-y, moved toward dating, and is now kind of hookup-y again. That's what my perception of it is. But I mean,
my perception of Tinder is that it has become like more and more hookup-y over time. Hookup-y, that's our word for
that. Yeah, that's a phrase.
more and more hookup-y. I think a lot of the apps where the connection is based on judging someone's appearance and then swiping immediately, That's much more hookup-y than when you're in an app that's matching you based on characteristics and statistics and information. But regardless, it's important to figure out when does this conversation happen. And like I said, it changes based on the STI that you have, right? So if you currently have chlamydia, gonorrhea, or syphilis, the right time to tell somebody is probably not be on the dating app until you clear it up. And most of those clear up in a couple weeks at most with some antibiotic treatment, right? Those are the ones we were saying. They're highly stigmatized, but most of the time they're pretty easy to treat and go away. So I don't think that you need to disclose that status to somebody if you wait until you get treated. And then you can avoid that conversation altogether.
You would need to disclose it when you found out you had it to any partners that you've had. So
yeah. Right. On the other side of the conversation. Right.
So what we're talking about right now is when do you disclose the status to a new partner? But what this issue has brought up is, yeah, you are also going to need to disclose it to old partners when you get a new diagnosis.
Right.
So if it's a bacterial infection, one of those things that can be cleared up with an antibiotic, then yeah, you're not going to have to tell new partners because it'll be cleared up. And then that's like in the past. That's like, you don't have to tell everyone that you kiss in the future that you had a cold once, you know, last year. But it would be nice to tell someone if you had a really bad cold right now before you kiss them, right? So that's what we're looking at here. And so I think that it is really... it is also important. I mean, I think we should do a whole nother episode on how to tell your partners that you've just been diagnosed with STI or STD, because that is also a really hard conversation.
Exactly. That's the other side of disclosure, but that one is really important as well. So all we're going to say today is that look out for a future episode where we're going to, I mean, I think Spring and I will probably do some role play in that episode as well, where we talk about like, what does that conversation look like? And then if someone calls you, how do you respond to that as well? Because like yeah. We said at the very beginning of the episode, STIs are really, really common. Right. Essentially, half of all people will have one by the time they're 25 years old, at least one. And it's not an end of the world. Right. If 50% of people are getting it, like we really need to roll back that stigma and have some good conversations, because if people did better disclosure and testing, that 50% number would drop drastically. because, you know, you would get tested and treated and protect yourself, right? So we have those bacterial ones, disclosing those to a new partner. Like I said, like if I was on those dating apps and I had found out that I had contracted chlamydia or gonorrhea or syphilis, I would probably, you know, just not log in until I was done with that course of antibiotics, or schedule a date after everything was cleared up just to avoid that conversation. Nice and easy. But I think it's a little more complicated when we talk about some of the viral STIs, because they are much more persistent. So when we say viral, we're talking about HPV, we're talking about HIV, we're talking about herpes, and we're talking about hepatitis. So those are the four viral ones that we talk about the most. And things are changing for all of them as well. We've had episodes about HPV. Hopefully you've listened and you've been vaccinated for it. And if that's the case, you don't have to have that conversation either. So you can take that one off the table.
We're just scratching combos off the list for y'all.
I mean, right. And then we could also talk about, like, you know, we've had episodes about PrEP and HIV, but I mean, the HIV is a little bit more serious to talk about with future partners. When do you disclose that kind of status? And similarly, herpes, while we also have an episode about herpes, while there's no real major negative health outcome with herpes, it is really highly stigmatized. And you should probably talk to partners about it. And then hepatitis as well. Some of the hepatitis strains we actually have vaccines for. Go get them, A and B. And we actually have pretty good treatments for C as well. So once again, like, the scariness of STDs really has STIs has really decreased over the last 10 to 20 years. Unfortunately, the stigma that goes along with them hasn't. All right. So when do you disclose? We're not even talking how do you disclose. So when do you disclose? If it's just a hookup, right? If you're on a hookup app and you're just going to be hooking up with somebody, if that's the purpose is just to, you know, have sex with them, then you need to tell them probably before you meet in real life, probably before you're in the same room, probably before, definitely before you're in bed. Like, that, yeah. Not like, hey, I might have HPV right when the condom's coming out. I'm like, that's not the appropriate time.
Right. And so it does really change based on the nature of the relationship that you intend to have with that person. So if you are going out to meet somebody and you plan to just have sex with them that night, and that's what both of you are intending, and you're planning this just as a hookup, then yeah, you want to talk to them before you go. I would suggest doing that probably over the phone. I think that would be the easiest way to have a conversation like that, or like a video phone call as well, because you want to be able to like have that interaction and share that information with them. And if the intention on both sides is to hook up and only to hook up, then you know that that is going to be on the menu for that night. Then you don't want to risk, you know, both of you going out and then being angry and not having the interaction that you wanted anyway, right? So I think it makes sense to do that beforehand. But on the other hand, if you are going out with someone with the intention of having a long relationship with them and you aren't planning on hooking up on that first date, then yeah, you don't need to tell them before you meet. And I think it makes sense not to, in fact, because there is still stigma around these things. We actually would like to get to know people and then be able to have a meaningful conversation about what that status actually means for you and how to navigate that with somebody.
Yeah. So like Spring said, that conversation changes a little bit when you're moving into the dating world, right? If you're expecting to have multiple dates, if you really like that person, and then it gets even more complicated if this is someone who like a friend hooked you up with, or if it's somebody inside of a friend group because of the additional stigma inside of those communities. So not necessarily immediately, but definitely before things start to get hot and spicy. So before things get hot and spicy, and it can be through text, right? Spring and I have talked before how sometimes it's easier to have some of these conversations through text over the phone with asynchronous communication. It takes some of the pressure off. It lets you be a little bit more measured when you respond. But disclosing STI status over text can be really difficult. It might be a conversation that you actually want to have in person with the person.
And we talked about if you're going to do something like that over a text, asking permission first, saying, do you have time to text with me for a few minutes? Like, so that you're not just dropping it and then not knowing if they're able to respond or to look at it. So you want to say like, I want to have a conversation over text. Like, are you available for that right now? So that you can create a little space for it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with doing this over text, but a lot of times people, unfortunately, need a little bit of education around STIs and STDs. We know that there are not great educational systems in most places for people to have a great baseline knowledge about STIs. So that means if you're disclosing your status, you're probably going to have to teach this person you're disclosing to a little bit about what that means and about what that means for you and what that means for them and what that means for any potential sexual interactions. And so I think that it might be nice to do that via like a video call or in person, because you can like really respond to their concerns and do this like little bit of education that probably needs to happen in a context where you're getting immediate feedback.
And part of that process, you'll be talking about how to protect yourself and how they can protect themselves overall in the process, right? Because the reason why you're disclosing status is because you care about yourself and you care about that other person. And you want to make sure that everyone is safe. So in your research, when you're learning about it, you should look up ways that you can, you know, make sure that you're safe and make sure that you protect yourself. If you listen to that episode that we have on herpes, there's a medication that you can take every day that decreases the chances of you having outbreaks and greatly decreases the chances of you potentially spreading it to a future partner. And we've talked about, you know, a lot of other STIs over our years together. I kind of want to flip this whole thing on its head for a second as well. So we're answering the question, when do you disclose STI status? I think that we should also talk for a couple minutes about, like, when do you ask somebody else their STI status? And how do we make that the normal part of the conversation? So we need to take another short break. When we're right back, we're going to keep talking about disclosing STI status. Thanks for listening, everyone. Welcome back. We're talking about STI status disclosure. And so far for the last, you know, 20 some minutes, we've been talking about when to disclose or how to disclose, sort of what does that look like? I'm asking Spring right now, like, how do you ask people their STI status? Because I think that makes it a lot easier to disclose if we normalized, like, hey, what's your status?
Yeah. I mean, I ask people, the first question I ask is, when was the last time you were tested? I think that's the best intro question because first of all, it's a little bit easier. And it's going to give you more information for that follow-up question. Because if somebody says, you know, I don't have anything, but they haven't been tested in a year, then do they really not have anything? So we don't know, right? So I think the best first question to ask is, when was the last time you were tested? And then I think that's a really nice entryway into that conversation to say, okay, here's the last time I was tested. These were the results. What were the results of your last test? And then having a conversation about, is it time for us both to get tested again based on when that last test was, based on any risk behavior that you might have engaged in since that last test? I think that, you know, asking first about when you were tested and then and asking what the results were and then asking about any unprotected sexual activity that they've engaged with since that time. And you know, this is what's going to happen a lot of times. People are going to say, oh, well, I only had unprotected sex with these two people since then. And I'm going to say the phrase that people say. They're going to say, and I know they're clean. And we have a whole episode about why you shouldn't say clean in reference, which is totally related to the stigma. And when they say something like that, perfect chance to refer them to our podcast, perfect chance to do a little education, but also that we know that you don't know other people's statuses. Most people don't even know their own status. So you definitely don't know that those other people don't have an infection.
And asking that question can be really hard. And there's some things that you can do to make it a lot easier too. So if you're asking for somebody else's papers, for someone else's results, have yours ready and be willing to show them to the other person. Like, that's how you facilitate that part of the conversation. And it requires being brave. But if you're given that slate of health that shows that there's nothing going on, that you have no active STIs, or if it shows that you have one, right, then you know how to protect yourself and protect other people. And I love that Spring brought up that clean thing. Like, I'm clean. I've only had sex with a few people unprotected. You're better off having protected sex with 100 people than unprotected sex with one or two people, if we're talking really about your sexual health over your lifespan, especially if you're not asking these questions, right? If you're with somebody new and you ask the question, like, you know, like, what's your STI status? Have you been tested? And they're offended, or they've never been tested before. It means that they're out there having, you know, the same kind of sex with other kind of people and not asking those questions, which means that, like, it's a red flag. And it's not a relationship can't happen red flag, because, you know, in the United States and a lot of other countries around the world, we don't really do very good, you know, sexual health education. Like, we don't tell people that they need to be tested. And most of our doctors are never trained to ask those questions. They very, like, I don't know about all of you, but when you talk to a lot of your doctors, they get really awkward when you're talking to them about sexual health issues. So there's all these barriers in the way. So sometimes it's up to you individually to create an environment where you can ask those questions. And like I said, I think one of the easiest ways to do it is if you're dating someone new, you think you might want to have sex with them, or you think things are going well, you go get tested, you get that paper, and you use that sort of as like the entry into that conversation, because disclosing your STI status requires you to do all of those things. And, you know, a lot of people are embarrassed about sharing papers or showing papers. That's another one of those things that we need to normalize, just like all of those questions. Quick example. Vast majority of heterosexual men have absolutely no problem asking if a woman is on birth control, right? Like, they have no problem at all asking that question. We need to make it just as normal for people to ask the question, like, what's your STI status? Or when was your last test? Or, like, Here's my last test. Can I see yours? It needs to be that same level of common. It's not weird. It's not aberrant. It's not funky. It shouldn't make you feel awful, the same way asking birth control status has been normalized. Though I realize that there's some toxic masculinity in asking of that question and expectations of having unprotected sex, et cetera, et cetera. It has become a normal question. People aren't offended by it, right? And we need to do the same thing with STDs.
And I mean, I think what's really interesting is they actually both have the same motivations behind them, right? The reason somebody might ask if someone's on birth control is because they're interested in not using a condom, which is the same reason that you would ask about STI results. So it's interesting to me that there's that disparity in the comfort about asking, because the reason for asking is the same. It's the same motivation for most people, I would say.
Right. I mean, do they want to prevent pregnancy? They want to prevent STIs. And those are good questions to ask, right? Like, most people are not planning to have a baby when they're having sex. And most people are not planning to either contract or spread an STI when they're having sex. So let's normalize these questions and make it like an everyday part of conversation. I mean, we have a lot of work to do. A lot of doctors we have to get listening to our episodes so they can normalize asking those questions as well. So when do you disclose? Pretty early on, well before you're in the bedroom, like well before you get to that point in the bedroom. And then, you know, if you're disclosing, then you should expect the other person to disclose too. We've talked about, you know, reciprocity a lot of times on a lot of episodes about a lot of different aspects of sex. This is another one of those times where all parties involved need to be able to, you know, provide those receipts.
I remember this one time that I was on a date with somebody, and we were starting to kiss, and I was like, oh, we haven't talked about this yet. And I asked him when he had been last tested, and And he like really brushed me off, you know, and he was like, oh, you know, I would know if I had something. And I,
yikes,
I was like, well, actually, you probably wouldn't. And I started talking about some infections. I started talking about, you know, how easy to transmit some of them are. And I talked about how HPV can be transmitted without even any bodily fluids, you know, and he just, he freaked out. And I mean, he didn't have any of that information. And he got like, he got so upset. Like he was like, HPV can cause cancer. I mean, he like, he was so angry that he didn't know any of this. And he just like stormed out of my house. Like, he was like just livid that, you know, he didn't know these things and that, that, you know, he realized like he was at risk and he might not know that he had these things. And it was a really uncomfortable interaction for me. but, you know, I think that that's something to talk about also, you know, not everybody has the skills to have this conversation and to also be a little prepared for people not taking it that well, right? Like, they might not be able to have this conversation with you. And that definitely means it's somebody that you don't want to date. Like that, that's 100% what that means.
Did Spring just say dump them? What roles have reversed? It is a huge relationship red flag. It means they don't care about themselves enough. They don't care about other people enough. They don't care enough to get the right kind of information. And it's probably not a person that you want to be swapping bodily fluids with at the end of it. And some people, though, like they've just never been asked. And we live in a society where it's okay to kind of live in that blissfully ignorant disease spreading bubble. So we're asking you to pop that bubble today. If you've never been tested, go get tested. And, you know, then if you are hooking up with people, you can talk about sharing that status and start that really helpful conversation. Because this is talking about keeping you healthy for your whole sexual life. Right? Like preventing disease. And then if you want to have kids, making sure that you can have kids and making sure that you're not getting people that you care about. And only if you care about them, even for, you know, like 30 minutes, those 30 minutes, keeping them safe throughout that entire experience. Yeah. So there's a lot of it depends in this episode, but all of those, it depends are before you get to the bedroom practice that conversation. And if you're going to, and then expect other people to disclose their status to you, right? So if you have a viral STI and it's not going away and you have to tell people, the least you can do is you can expect other people to get tested and tell you as well. All right. I think we're at the end of our episode, everybody. Thank you for listening. This is our sexual honesty month, and we're going to be sexually honest with you. So check out our social media. We are all over Instagram posting sexual health information, stuff that links to our episodes, questions and surveys, occasionally contests and prizes. So check us out on Instagram. We would love to hear from you if you have any questions about this episode, or you just have any question about sex, sexual health, relationships in general. Well, we'll answer you eventually. If you want to reach out, you can DM us on social media. You can call us at 413-I-RAP-IT and you can send us an email. We're thesexrap@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
For everything that you were too afraid to ask at home, too embarrassed to ask at school, or just too...
Music for this episode provided by the ever elusive and mysterious... Breakmaster Cylinder.
The Podglomerate. A sonic universe.